As perhaps you heard, this study for this month of March is on the Bible itself. We have thought briefly about the origination of the Bible. This blessed book comes from God Himself. He used human beings to pen the words that we have in this blessed book. But we have considered something of the origination of Scripture, and then on Sunday night we were thinking about the Bible, its canonization. We pointed out that from time to time you might read or hear terms like the canon of Scripture. This is C-A-N-O-N. It's not artillery. The canon of Scripture, or the canonicity of the Bible. Now, just what does that term mean? Well, we pointed out that the word canon comes from the word canon, and it refers to a measuring rod or a standard. And in thinking of the canon of Scripture, we are thinking of the standard. We are thinking of the guideline that godly men of old used to determine the authenticity and mainly the inspiration of writing as to whether or not they should be included in what we know today as the Bible. There were many writings back in Old Testament days and New Testament days, many letters, many writings other than what we do have in the Bible. And it was godly men of old who determined what books should be included in the canon of Scripture. We pointed out that as to the Old Testament, five basic principles guided the decision regarding the canonicity of these Scriptures. Number one, did the book speak with authority? And at least 1,600 times, in fact, 1,601 times, we read, "Thus saith the Lord," or words comparable to that. Did the book speak with authority? Was its authorship acceptable? It was determined that these books that make up the Bible were written by holy men of God. And Peter states that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Was it authentic? Was it genuine? Or was it a serious counterfeit? And these godly men determined that question as well. Was it inherently effective? Did it demonstrate the power of God? And lastly, was it accepted by the nation of Israel? Well, now, as to the New Testament Scriptures, we have more guidelines. Did they give sufficient evidence of being inspired? No book was included in the canon of Scripture that was not determined to be inspired, and inspiration is our topic for tonight. Were they of apostolic origin? Were these writings from God by apostles, were they apostolic origin? And then, were they accepted and read in the churches in apostolic days as being authentic, inspired, and authoritative? And lastly, did the teaching in the churches correspond with the oral teaching of Christ and His apostles? The Lord Jesus Christ referred many times to the Old Testament Scriptures, and that neither He nor any of the apostles spoke contrary to Old Testament Scripture. Of course, when the Lord was here, and I might say shortly afterward, the New Testament Scriptures were being formed. And so we have considered something of the canonization of Scripture. Now tonight, let's turn first of all in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, to a verse that maybe many of you can quote from memory. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And even though you can quote it sometimes it's the familiarity of a verse or a portion that causes us to kind of skim over it and maybe not get all that we should be getting from it. But look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Turn a few pages to the right to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And come down to the last verse, verse 21. Peter wrote, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved," and that word moved there is borne along, "as they were borne along by the Holy Ghost." So tonight, we are thinking of the Bible, its inspiration. And as you know, all we're doing is really hitting some of the highlights of these different topics pertaining to the Bible. I mean, what we're considering here in a few messages would make an in-depth study for a year. And so we're just hitting some of the highlights. But tonight, and we'll continue, God willing, Sunday night, in thinking of the Bible, its inspiration. Now, what do we mean when we say that God's Word is inspired? Now, one of the foremost purposes in God giving His book is to make His great plan of redemption known to mankind. His message of redemption was and is to all nations, not just for Israel. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So not just for Israel, but for all people. Keep that in mind. And it was for future generations, as well as to those to whom these revelations were committed or given. Therefore, it was necessary that the revelation be committed to writing. Had it not been written, it would seem almost impossible that the purpose of God would have been accomplished. Now, God has communicated His full and final message to man through His Son in human form and through His Bible in human language. Now, as we have considered, God used many writers, about 40, over about 1,600 years in writing the different books that make up this one book. And with the passing of the years, much of what God had made known undoubtedly would have been lost, or corrupted, or perverted, apart from a written record. So, by the will of God, His revelation was recorded. And as we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But what is inspiration? We'll consider that as we go through this study tonight, and as I said, we'll continue Sunday night. Occasionally, when a person gets a clever idea, he might be asked, "How that happened?" And he might remark, "Oh, I just got a sudden inspiration." Now, what he means by that is that the idea suddenly came to him without much effort on his part. "Oh, I just got an inspiration." A team may play a far better game than it was ever thought possible. And it might be said the courageous effort of their captain inspired them to do their best. Now, this means that an influence from without, in this case the captain, impelled them to a greater effort. And people speak in such terms as being inspired. Now, some people use this word inspiration to account for the philosophical speculation of a Browning or the matchless genius of a Shakespeare, or the sanctified imaginings of a Bunyan. But between the highest literary creation of the human mind and the Word of God, the living Word of God, there lies a great infinity. Inspiration of Scripture is far more than the literary creation of the human mind. It's far more than a person getting a bright idea. Now we read these two verses. First of all, 2 Timothy 3:16. And in this verse, Paul states and stresses the fact, the nature, and the extent of inspiration. First of all, the fact. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture comes from God. And the extent. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the nature. All Scripture is given by inspiration. What does that mean? It means that all Scripture is the out-breathing. That's what inspiration means. The out-breath or the out-breathing of God. And so all Scripture is God's breath. This is the reason we read of this book being a living book. Hebrews 4 and 12. It is quick. It is living. And we'll consider more of this, God willing, on Sunday morning as we think of a gospel emphasis. Now, we pointed out that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Even so, the Bible is a living book because it is the out-breathing of God. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved, borne along by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit of God used human beings. He used their minds. He used their limbs to give to us what we have in the Bible. Now, an explanation of this might be seen in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 19. I'll read it for the sake of time. 1 Chronicles 28 and 19. Now, David, the king of Israel, is giving instructions to Solomon, his son, for the building of the temple. You might remember that David himself had hoped to build the temple. He had hoped to execute this project, but God did not allow him to do so. And so in 1 Chronicles 28:19, David is referring to the building materials as he speaks to Solomon. And this is what we read in 1 Chronicles 28:19. All this the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the work of the pattern, by his hand upon me. You might remember the time when your child or maybe some young person in the family was showing you how to write and they didn't know how to make certain letters, and so you would put their hand over their hand and you would guide them in making the letter. Well, this is what David is referring to. All this the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. And I want you to listen carefully as I read to you what seven scholars, conservative scholars, had to say in defining inspiration. Listen carefully. This is what D.D. Warfield said as to inspiration. A supernatural influence exerted on the sacred writers by the Spirit of God, by virtue of which their writings are given divine trustworthiness. This is what Charles Hodge said. An influence of the Holy Spirit on the minds of certain select men which rendered them the organs of God for the infallible communication of his mind. And Lewis Ferry Schaeffer said, that controlling influence which God exerted over human authors by whom the Old and New Testaments were written. And H.C. Thiessen said, the Holy Spirit supervised the selection of the materials to be used and the words to be employed in writing. He finally preserves the writers from all error and from all omission. And L. Gozen said, the inexplicable power which the divine spirit put forth of old on the writers of Holy Scripture in order to their guidance, even in the employment of the words they use, and to preserve them alike from all error and from all omission. Charles Ryrie, maybe one of the names more familiar to you. Charles Ryrie said, God superintending human authors so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error his revelation to man in the original manuscript. J.I. Packer said, as to inspiration, a supernatural influence of God's Spirit upon the biblical authors, which ensured that they wrote what they wrote was precisely what God intended them to write for the communication of his truth. And lastly, B.B. Warfield once again, that extraordinary supernatural influence exerted by the Holy Spirit on the writers of the sacred books by which their words are rendered as the words of God and therefore perfectly infallible. I would want you to keep one thing in mind as you listen to this, that these writers of Scripture were not machines. They were not robots. God used individuals. And even though God moved or he superintended every word that was written, these men being borne along by the Holy Spirit of God, God still used their individuality and their personality. I sometimes think of a bullet coming from a gun. Those who work with these ballistic experts, they can look at a bullet and they can determine exactly what gun that bullet came from. And even though this book comes from God, he used human beings who were not robots. And so their personalities or characteristics, maybe I should say of their personalities, characteristics of their individuality come forth. So you can see evidence of a particular writer like Peter or like Paul. So God used human beings, but they were not robots. Now, one cannot read these definitions from scholars without noting a threefold theme recurring throughout what they said. They all agree that inspiration is the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit of God, and that the influence extended to the very words that were written. And thirdly, that controlling influence assured inerrancy in the original writing. Now, we read in the Bible of three outbreathings of God. I have referred to one in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And here is God the Father giving his life to this lifeless image, inanimate object God breathed into man, into Adam, the breath of life. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 22, we read of God the Son breathing on his disciples. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." I believe it was a preview of Pentecost. But God the Son breathed on his disciples, and they became living temples of the Holy Spirit. And then God the Spirit breathed upon the sacred pages, and the Word became living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, we can breathe on a frosty window pane, and our breath crystallizes there on that pane, cold and lifeless. But when the Holy Spirit breathed forth the Word of God, it crystallized upon the pages of the Bible as a warm, life-giving message from the heart of God to the heart of man. This is no ordinary book. It is God's book. You know, in thinking of God using human beings and using their minds with which to think, although he actually did all of the thinking as to the words that he wanted in this book. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, well, God could use an ass to speak like a man, couldn't he? In fact, he did. In Numbers chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. In 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2. "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth." Now, when we think of inspiration, I think we should consider 3 points. First of all, the Bible is divine. It's by inspiration of God. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth." And there are so many more verses that we could turn to. But inspiration is divine. That's number one. It is divine. And not only so, but inspiration is plenary. Plenary. This word plenary means full or complete. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And plenary inspiration ensures the accuracy and the inerrancy of every statement of Scripture. So it is divine, it is plenary, and inspiration is verbal. All Scripture is given by the outbreathing of God. That term, verbal, comes from the Latin verbum, a word that indicates that the very words of Scripture are inspired, in contrast to the theory of thought or concept inspiration. We'll have more to say about that. Does the Bible speak about the very word being inspired? My time is gone, but let me give you something to think about between now and Sunday night. I have 4 thoughts here. First of all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, as we've read. All Scripture. What about the words? Moses said, "And God spake all these words." Exodus 20, verse 1. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." As we read 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah, "Hear the word of the Lord." Isaiah 1, verse 10. Jeremiah, "I have put my words in thy mouth," God said to Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 9. Ezekiel, "Thou shalt speak my words unto them," Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 3 and verse 4. The Lord Jesus said, and you'll see this in John chapter 17, I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me. And the Apostle Paul, as I just referred to, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So all scripture, and then the word. Well, what about the letters? What about the letters? Look with me, just give me a minute or two, and we'll stop. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 13. Follow along, and let's turn to it. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Here's God speaking to Abram now, or Abraham. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. To thy seed. Underscore that word in your thinking. Turn on over to chapter 22 and verse 18. Chapter 22 and verse 18. And in thine seed, now notice in the singular now, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Turn over just a page or two to chapter 25 and verses 5 and 6. Chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now why was that? It's because of seed being singular and not in the plural. And to show you what I mean, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seed, don't put an S on it, be careful about your words, not seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So all scripture is by inspiration. The words are inspired. The letters are inspired. You remember the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he spoke about every jot and tittle not passing away. The jot is the letter yod, the smallest in the Hebrew alphabet, much like our comma or apostrophe. And the tittle is not even a complete letter. It's like the dot of an I. It's a little mark to indicate one letter from another. And the Lord Jesus spoke about even the jot and the tittle being the word of God. So here we have these four areas. All scripture, the word, the letters, the jot and the tittle. We have before us the inspired Word of God. This blessed book is the very breath of God. Now, when we speak of that, of course, we are thinking of the original text. We have here just a copy. But we believe God has guided, God has determined that this book stay pure and free from error. And thank God that we have in our possession a copy of the inspired Word of God. I was going to sing a stanza, but we'll just close in prayer. Father, we are made to realize that this is solemn indeed, that all scripture is the outbreathing of God. The words, the letters, yes, and even the accent marks, all make up the Word of God. Oh, Father, I pray that we will be challenged and encouraged to read and study our Bibles more. so that we will know not only what it says, but have a good understanding of what it teaches. May it be so with each one of us. Dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. Good night. God.